1420 AM, W248DE, Wisconsin Rapids. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Michael Toscano. Labor Day hasn't been the best day for flying, with FlightAware reporting a total of over 5,100 flights delayed and 150 flights canceled yesterday. FlightAware's Kathleen Bangs has advice if you think you might be affected.
I always recommend that travelers, you can just put in any search, FAA airspace or FAA airspace status, and it brings up the FAA status website page, which is fantastic because if you're traveling, it shows any airspace delays in the country, any specific airports, like right now, Newark.
Newark Liberty International has been experiencing delays and cancellations, reportedly because of equipment issues. Nearly 250 homes in Rancho Palos Verdes, California, have had gas and electric power cut off because they and the ground they are on continue to shift after a landslide with the threat of more coming. CBS News Los Angeles' Lori Perez is there for us.
Most of the neighbors that we spoke with here in the Seaview neighborhood say they are opting to stay. So there's been a scramble for generators in this region. In the darkness here, I can see people with flashlights huddled around trying to set up a generator in front of a home. So lots of people here are staying with the aid of generators.
Pope Francis has landed in Jakarta, Indonesia, where he will kick off an 11-day tour described as the longest ever for a pope. CBS's Anna Matranga has more.
Flying over 20,000 miles to Indonesia, Papua New Guinea, East Timor, and Singapore. Now, this would be a challenging trip for anyone, but especially so for the 87-year-old Pope, who has had health issues over the last several years.
There's at least one more day of a strike plan for thousands of hotel workers in nine U.S. cities. Cade Watanabe is with the Hawaii chapter of the Unite Here Union.
The hotels can count on workers being there, working hard every day. We need them to step up. We need to count on our hotel owners and operators to put in the same care and love that we bring to our jobs every day and show some of that respect to us workers.
CBS's Christian Benavides tells us hotel guests are paying attention at affected hotels, not always favorably.
The strikes are expected to last until Tuesday, and while hotels remain open, services may be limited or modified, and some customers are not pleased.
Running our entire morning and having to listen to this all morning, I'm not the person in charge of their wages. I don't know why they want to punish me.
A decision about reclassifying marijuana as a less dangerous drug won't come until after the November presidential election. The Drug Enforcement Administration has set a hearing date to take comment on the proposed historic change for December 2nd. This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto.
Seth here, host of Over the Back Fence. We're on the air live every Saturday from 11 a.m. to 12 p.m., taking your calls to buy or sell, talk local events, or whatever, only on WFHR.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Democratic running mate Tim Walz tells a Labor Day crowd of supporters in Milwaukee that Donald Trump is keen to enact so-called right-to-work laws that disadvantage workers.
It means the right to work for less money. It means the right to work in dangerous situations. It means the right to work with no pensions. That's what right to work means.
Press pool vans following Walz were involved in a crash on their way to the speech. A Harris campaign staffer reportedly suffered a broken arm. A reporter may have had a concussion. President Biden travels to southwest Wisconsin on Thursday. He's expected to talk about the 2022 Inflation Reduction Act. Meanwhile, Donald Trump will hold a campaign rally in central Wisconsin on Saturday. Trump campaign says it will happen at the airport in Mosinee starting at 1 in the afternoon. This is Civic Media News.
A five-game winning streak for the Brewers comes to an end. Hi, I'm Jimmy Cusco with Civic Media Sports. It took 11 innings, but the Cincinnati Reds took down the Brewers 4-3 on Sunday thanks to a walk-off single to score the automatic runner. The Brewers took 3 of 4 games for the Reds in the weekend series and stand 9 games ahead of the Chicago Cubs in the NL Central. Now Milwaukee comes home to take on the St. Louis Cardinals Monday afternoon in a 3-game set. The NFL season kicks off this week with a game on Thursday between the Kansas City Chiefs and the Baltimore Ravens. Then on Friday, the Green Bay Packers Packers will take on the Philadelphia Eagles in Brazil. The Packers matchup has plenty of intrigue as both teams changed defensive coordinators and running backs for this season, and it'll also be the first ever NFL game in Brazil. Kickoff will be on Friday night. This week is the start of conference season in high school football. It is week 3. You can find one of nearly a dozen games around the state right here on Civic Media. With sports for Civic Media, I'm Jimmy Cuska.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Mostly clear skies and light winds for us here in the overnight as temperatures tumble into the upper 40s. On Tuesday, sunshine and highs in the upper 70s. By Wednesday, plentiful sunshine once again as our temperatures approach the 80-degree mark. It's 53 at our studios.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, Rapids' home of Nightlight with Pete Schwabe.
This is the Tom Hartman Program.
Welcome back. We're talking with Lamar Waldron, the guy that the Chicago Tribune called one of the best investigative journalists in the United States. He's the author of numerous books. He and I together wrote Ultimate Sacrifice and Legacy of Secrecy about the Kennedy assassination. Legacy of Secrecy also goes into the Bobby Kennedy and Martin Luther King assassinations. And his most recent book on this, which he did himself, which is like the most updated version of all this, is titled Watergate, The Hidden History. The Hidden History of the JFK Assassination. He also wrote Watergate, The Hidden History, which is a brilliant book. Maybe you're noticing a theme here. So just to recap very quickly, we have a coup plot against Castro that was hatched in 1963 after the Bay of Pigs, after the Cuban Missile Crisis. This is with Juan Almeida, the commander of the Cuban army, who has said he will assist in taking out Castro and he will help take over the country if the U.S. will provide him with support. He cuts this deal with Bobby Kennedy himself through the intermediary of Harry Williams, who Lamar and I interviewed extensively on a couple of occasions, on multiple occasions, actually. The coup plot is ongoing. They were going to have a Soviet-associated patsy take the credit for the assassination of Castro in Cuba on December 1st, 1963. And then, I'm sure I'm missing. Oh, and then we talked to Dean Rusk, and he confirmed that this was going on. He was Kennedy's Secretary of State. We talked to Harry Williams. He confirmed it. Lamar was talking about talking with John Noland, who was Bobby Kennedy's closest aide, best friend, or one of his best friends, and he confirmed that there was actually essentially, or sort of confirmed that there was essentially a cover-up. Laura, my recollection is that I found a document in the Kennedy Library after I met with Dave Powers, who was in the car behind Kennedy. He was Kennedy's right-hand man.
Right. That was the first page.
And it had Al Haig's name on it.
The Cuba contingency plan. So those are those plans that Bobby had the secret subcommittee of the National Security Council start making in September. Then I later on got like 20 more pages from an Army.
Right, and so this plan was in place in case Castro got wind of this new attempt to assassinate him on December 1st, 1963. If he heard about it in advance and decided to take revenge on the United States by killing our ambassador to Panama, was the example John Noland gave you, then we would cover that up by getting that ambassador's body to Washington, D.C., and essentially mutilating it in an autopsy if necessary and controlling all the information.
Exactly, because the goal would be, as Nolan explained, and the documents indicate, but Nolan just was blunt when he explained. He said, look, the point is you had to control the flow of information to keep the U.S. president from being forced into an invasion of Cuba.
Correct.
Until you
by
keep
the American
bottom
public.
Of all this.
Right. You know. Right. If the word got out that Castro just killed an American ambassador to Panama, the pressure for another invasion of Cuba would be so great. And John Kennedy and Bobby Kennedy were both concerned that, number one, that would get in the way of their December 1st, 63 effort to kill Castro. And number two, it could provoke World War III. Russia exactly. would intervene.
So we've gotten so close to that.
So, right. So they changed the entrance wound in the front of Kennedy's throat to an exit wound to make it look like he was shot from behind.
Well, they didn't actually. I mean, they were. From everything I have read since, you know, coupled with what Nolan said, someone was literally, and you know, they may have only had 15 or 20 minutes. People should know that the honor guard that's supposed to escort JFK's the hearse with JFK's body from Air Force One to Bethesda lost it. So there are, you know, 30, 45 minutes, like, totally unaccounted for. There are all these different times as to when the autopsy supposedly started. So it looks like so they weren't mutilating it just to hide. I mean, somebody had a very limited amount of time, and so I think they were literally, you know, so it was a little entrance room, little tracheotomy incision. They wanted to see where that bullet went.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
So that's what, you know, so the fact that it was horribly mutilated and large was kind of a byproduct, and so the autopsy doctors announced that they didn't even know there was a wound in the front of the throat. You know, they didn't find that out until Sunday.
Right.
So two more quick things about Nolan. They're very important. One is so if somebody watched the Oliver Stone movie, which is good as drama, but you know it was Jim Garrison's investigation that the movie is about. It was like 1967, 68. There's a little information that's more recent than that that's credible, but you know, otherwise, you know, you're JFK is a well done dramatic movie that's state of the art as far as what we knew in 68, which we knew a lot more by the 70s and the 80s and then the early 90s. You would think that a bunch of shadowy generals controlled the autopsy, but it wasn't. I mean, as Nolan, who was the intermediary, told me, you know, it was Bobby Kennedy who controlled the autopsy through him and through Admiral Berkeley, and there are many other people I cite in the book, you know, people who were there that right. confirmed that. And by the way, I don't take anybody's word for anything. I looked hard, and sure enough, there was a Kennedy-authorized book, initially authorized by Jackie, called Death of a President by William Manchester in the mid-60s. If anyone looks in that book, you will see that at Bethesda with Bobby Kennedy was John Nolan.
Right.
Because otherwise, John Nolan is such a low-profile figure. So when people have wondered, what happened to JFK's brain? What happened to all the missing autopsy evidence, tissue samples? What happened to the missing x-rays and photographs? You know, based on what Nolan told me and other research I was able to do after that, yeah, all that wound up with Bobby Kennedy. I mean, that's what all the evidence shows. So, in other words, so it wasn't shadowy generals.
And it was because he was trying to protect the world from World War III.
Exactly. Bobby
wasn't trying to cover up some crime that he thought he was part of. He was trying to prevent World War III. And Al Haig was in on this, and Cyrus Vance was in on this.
Right.
And
Al Haig was in part of those. The contingency planning for what to do, as I say, guess who they turned to handle all the burial details? Alexander Haig and Joseph Califano, who had both been working on these, you know, both the coup plan and the contingency plans to protect the
coup. And both have subsequently confirmed that. So
they've never talked about Commander Almeida or anything, but they talked about, you know, that yeah they'd worked with the Cubans,
the cover-up essentially.
And they had worked with, you know, they wouldn't call it that, but you know, and then they had worked on, you know, aspects of the coup plan. So they're both very careful people, or were. Califano's still alive.
So
one last thing about John Nolan, and then we'll get into your interview with somebody who's never been named ever by us anywhere, and that is Nolan said, so Nolan was a lawyer at the Justice Department, and Nolan said that Bobby Kennedy asked him to do a secret investigation of the assassination, because Bobby Kennedy kept any information about the coup plan away from the Warren Commission. Okay, even though, you know, Bobby trusted some of the people in the Warren Commission, he didn't trust others, and it was actually some of Bobby Kennedy's own people that kind of pressured to create the Warren Commission, because otherwise the only investigation would have been under the control of J. Edgar Hoover, and you know, Bobby and his aides didn't like him at all. So So how can an investigation be done? Well, so Bobby asked John Nolan, who knew all about the coup plan and who knew some about the mafia, because everything Bobby was doing about the mafia, you know, those papers went across John Nolan's desk before they went to Bobby. And so John Nolan, you know, he probably knew about as much about the mafia as anybody at Justice at that time, the mafia and their ally Hoffa. And unlike everyone else at the Justice Department, except for Bobby, John Nolan knew about the coup plan. And so Nolan did his own private investigation that was only shared with Robert Kennedy. And so you can imagine, one question I asked John Nolan was, well, what did you find? And Nolan said, did you see that Jack Anderson special back in 1988? And I said, yes, I did. That's what got me and my collaborator on this, Tom Hartman, interested. He said, well, he said, that had a very important piece of the puzzle that, and again, he's being very careful in his wording, so I'm summarizing what he would take 5 minutes to say, okay? Just want to make that clear. And he said, you know, he implied, I should say, that he had focused on Carlos Marcello, the godfather of Louisiana and Texas, who had been being prosecuted by Bobby's Justice Department in New Orleans pretty much the whole month of November. And he had also, Nolan had focused on Santo Trafficante. But Nolan said the person he was not able to uncover in 1964 was Johnny Roselli. So it was only in the 70s when the Senate committee revealed Johnny Roselli, and in that Jack Anderson special, he said Roselli was the final piece. That's what you should look at, Roselli, Marcello.
Which brought us to the mafia.
This is the Tom Hartman Program.
Back with more with Lamar Waldron on the assassination of John Kennedy. Today is the anniversary. We'll be right back. Did you know your dog's food could be harming them? Dr. Marty says there's one major red flag to look out for: cooked dog food, like kibble or canned food. When dog food is cooked at high temperatures, the amino acids often overheat and can create dangerous compounds called AGEs, advanced glycation end products. AGEs can cause dangerous buildups in your dog's system and make them act slower or older than they are, and high amounts are even connected to cancer. It's tricky because even the so-called healthy and organic dog foods are often cooked at high temperatures, so it's really hard to avoid. That's why Dr. Marty created his own formula called Nature's Blend. It's freeze-dried raw. It's shelf-stable, mess-free, full of nutrients, and tastes absolutely delicious to dogs. My dogs, Blue and Chewy, devour this food. I love that it's the healthiest and best food ever for them. Save up to 54% off Nature's Blend and receive free premium dog treats. Just go to drmartypets.com/Tom. That's drmartypets.com/THOM or text Tom to 511-511. All dogs are unique. Your dog's results can and will vary. Text fees may apply.
The American middle class is on its deathbed. Ordinary folks who put in a solid day's work can no longer afford to buy a house, send their kids to college, or even get sick. If you're not a CEO, you're probably screwed. In his latest book, Screwed, The Undeclared War Against the Middle Class and What We Can Do About It by Tom Hartman, Air America host Tom Hartman shows how the middle class, a product of democracy that was so carefully put together by our country's founding fathers, has been systematically dismantled over the past quarter century and, under the guise of freeing the market, replaced by an anti-democratic system designed to line the pockets of the super rich and corporations. Hartman shows that it's not too late to return to the America our founders envisioned. Democracy requires a fair playing field. It will survive only if we the people stand up, speak out, and reclaim our democracy. To find out more about Tom's book tour, or to get an audio sneak peek of Screwed, The Undeclared War Against the Middle Class and What We Can Do About It, visit TomHartman.com. Get Screwed by Tom Hartman. Available in all fine bookstores now.
Hey, Tom Hartman here. In my new book, Threshold, The Crisis of Western Culture, I'm looking at the deteriorating state of our planet, where the dynamics of environmental, economic, and population change are boiling over the limits within which society can function. I'll be busting the myths and ideologies of religious fundamentalism, capitalism run amok, male domination and hierarchy, and militarism that are draining our world of its natural and human resources and engendering the suffering of millions for the benefit of a few. Threshold examines cultures that have thrived from the mother city of Corral, Peru to modern Denmark, and targets five areas of policy, national, religious, economic, corporate, and environmental, for specific and immediate reform. Radical in scope and boldness, but simple in its common sense logic, my book Threshold illustrates the mistakes we have made as a culture, as a country, and as individuals, and provides the inspiration and motivation that you're looking for to build a better, more sustainable world for all. It's available in fine bookstores everywhere. Threshold.
Hi, I'm E.J. Williams for American Humane. For thousands of years, dogs have been our best friends in our worst times. Today, we're also learning that our best friends, millions of whom are abandoned each year, are often the best medicine when people are facing obstacles. To help both people and animals, organizations like American Humane have been working to harness the healing power of the human-animal bond, finding animals in need of forever homes and training them as life-saving service and therapy dogs to help our veterans, the elderly, and children overcome the daily obstacles of life. In this way, the rescued can become the rescuers. To find out how you can help give animals and the people they help a new leash on life, please visit AmericanHumane.org.
Our one-hour free podcast recaps our show, and it's available wherever fine podcasts are found. And we have the full three-hour podcast available over at TomHartmann.com if you want to really support our program.
You know, all across America, families are in mourning. Their parents and grandparents, particularly the men in their lives, have been stolen from them by the right-wing hate and rage machine, particularly Fox so-called news. Jen Senko produced a movie. It's called The Brainwashing of My Dad, about losing her own father to Fox so-called news. It was also made into a book. But now comes along Tim Walz. And Tim Walz is like everybody's dad, everybody's grandpa. He's the grandpa that you wish could sit down with your grandpa, who's been indoctrinated by Fox News, and kind of wake him up out of the trance. He's the dad that people who grew up in dysfunctional families wish they had. He's just a normal guy. You know, he joined the Army National Guard right out of high school. He rose up to Commander Sergeant Major. He became a top advocate for America's vets. He went to college, got his master's degree, taught high school social studies. He's a good man. He smiles. His students love him. There's a whole op-ed about this over at HartmannReport.com. Check it out.
Okay, we're talking with Lamar Waldron, just wrapping up the story of John Nolan and how, and Lamar, you were just finishing up just a moment ago. We were just talking about how John Nolan was telling you how the CIA essentially tried to kill him.
Exactly. When Nolan was trying to get the last 21 Americans out, this is after the Bay of Pigs prisoners, spring of 63, twice the CIA tried to contaminate with deadly poison a diving suit that Nolan and his partner in the negotiation with Castro, Donovan, were going to give to Castro. When they couldn't figure out the poison right, then they looked at putting an exploding seashell down there so that when Nolan was skin diving with Fidel, they'd both be blown up. So, yeah, so Nolan made a point to tell me that he was not happy when those details came out in the 1970s and strongly implied that's why he was telling me some of the things he told me. But one thing he didn't tell me, so Harry Williams by this time had given us the name of Commander Almeida, but I wanted some confirmation of that. Nolan never used Almeida's name, and so, I mean, I didn't press it.
Now, let me just pause you for a second. Almeida was the head of the, for people who might have just tuned in, Almeida was the head of the Cuban Army.
The founder of the Cuban Army.
He was black. He was the highest black official in Cuba. He had become very disenchanted with the revolution. He thought Castro was turning Cuba into a dictatorship, and he had reached out to Harry and to Bobby Kennedy and said, I will help take out Castro on December 1st, 1963, if you guys will backstop me.
Exactly. So I didn't press Nolan on Commander Almeida's name because he was giving me so much other great stuff. And by the way, at the end of the conversation, Nolan was very pleasant the whole time, but he made it real clear Yeah, this would be our only conversation, and we would never meet. You know, and I'm just grateful. You've been super helpful. So, but we always try to get confirmation for everything. So Harry had given us Commander Almeida's name. Dean Rusk had only indicated the position. John Nolan had indicated the position, but we needed another confirmation on Almeida's name, because that's how we manage the millions of facts about the JFK assassination, is only using stuff in our books that we can find independent corroboration for. We never take anybody's word for anything. So how would we get that confirmation? Well, Harry said one of the five fingers was the commander of the Cuban-American troops at Fort Benning, Georgia, who would be the first U.S. troops to go into Cuba, this multiracial brigade who was commanded by a black man named, I believe it's pronounced, Ernesto Oliva.
Ernesto Oliva, yeah.
And
he was a brigadier. When I met him, he was a brigadier general, was he?
Right. So at that time, he was the brigadier general at the Washington National Guard, who was in charge of the Washington National Guard, which for a black man in 1992, you know, most people didn't know there were black generals until Colin Powell. You know, that was a major cost. In addition to the fact, then General Oliva was Cuban American. And so basically Harry said, look, he knows all about the coup plan. You should talk to him. You know, he was one of the leaders at the Bay of Pigs. He was the leader of the Cuban Americans who would be the first U.S. troops, the multiracial brigade that would go into Cuba after the coup at the invitation of its new leader, Commander Juan Almeida. And so you arranged to talk to Commander, to General Oliva back in 1992.
Yeah. And, yeah, I made an appointment with him. I got on a plane, went to Washington, D.C. He was in the, my recollection is that he was in the building that was the National Guard building. It was one of these old 1950s buildings. And I waited a while outside his office, and finally, I was let in. And here's this guy in his general uniform, and in this big room. And on the far end of the room was, as I recall, a fairly loud window air conditioner and a couch. And so I sit down and start talking with him, and we're talking about Harry. And he's like, oh, I haven't seen Harry in a decade. You know, we used to go fishing, and, you know, Harry's just a wonderful guy. And so, you know, it was just kind of this chatty thing.
And people should know. So you and I had developed these questions for General Oliva.
Okay? Right.
And in the middle of the questions,
I asked him about Juan Almeida, the commander of the Cuban military, and everything went to hell. I'll tell you about that after the break. It's 27 minutes past the hour. We're talking with Lamar Waldron. He and I wrote two books about the Kennedy assassination. He wrote a third. It's called The Hidden History of the JFK Assassination. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program. Call 202-808-9925.
Who killed Kennedy, how, and why? And we're going to do a deep dive into the mafia right after this break, too.
If you're trying to quit drinking or doing too many drugs, listen to me. You don't know me and we'll never meet. I had a problem like you once. I drank and used to party a little too much till it got out of control and almost ruined my life. I realized I needed help to fix my problem before it totally destroyed me. If you've tried to fix your drinking and drug problem and you know you can't do it alone, you need to call the National Treatment Advisors. They'll immerse you into a 30-day program to replace your old habits with new habits and totally change your life. And if you have PPO private health insurance, the entire program may be covered. Fix your problem right now before it gets any worse. Get clean. Call now and learn more. 877-247-1581. 877-247-1581. 877-247-1581.
Have you ever met a single person in your life that enjoys paying taxes? No, no one does. If you can't sleep at night because you have a huge problem with the IRS, I've got some free advice for you. This service is strictly limited to individuals that owe the IRS $10,000 or more in back taxes. And if you qualify, we can guarantee that you won't be writing a big fat check to the IRS, or our services cost you nothing. The first 100 people that call today will get a free tax consultation worth $500. Stop worrying about your IRS problem. We can help you, we promise. Call the tax doctor right now. I mean right now to learn more.
800-554-0206. 800-554-0206. 800-554-0206. That's 800-554-0206.
Hey Wisconsin, it's construction season and the Wisconsin DOT wants to help you safely navigate work zones in your area. Check 511WI.gov or download the free 511 app to see current road work, closures, detours, and camera views on your route. Wherever your travels take you, know before you go with 511WI.gov. That's 511WI.gov. And remember, know before you go. Always park the phone while driving. Sponsored by the Wisconsin DOT.
Ready, set, go. Get in the game and be heard with WFHR's Playmakers. Join us 5 to 6 Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. We're here to take your calls, sports takes, and ramblings. We'll have breaking stories, game day conversations with players, coaches, and you. Nobody ever made a highlight from the sidelines. Join the team here at WFHR 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, 5 to 6 PM, Monday, Wednesday, and Friday for WFHR's Playmakers.
Matt Nair on air.
You know, Greg Bach, I think it is time I need a little time away.
Jane, are you going on vacation?
Yes, I am going on vacation. I feel confident you're going to do a great job. You got Calvin.
Wait, I'm hosting?
Yes, dear, you're going to be hosting.
I thought you were taking me with you. Okay, I guess I will host the show in your stead. Thank you very much.
I trust you.
Matt Nair on air, weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. The Todd Alba Show.
Co-founder of the Lincoln Project, Rick Wilson.
Trump is now pre-gaming for Republican elections boards at the county and state levels across this country to try to put their thumb on the scale for Trump. And if they don't win on that front, they may resort to violence again, which is why at the Lincoln Project, our goal is not to beat Trump. Our goal is to beat Trump like a rented mule. Our goal is to beat Trump so bad that his bruises have bruises.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Most people out here think that taking care of one another is important. And most people would step up for a neighbor going through a tough time. Most people around here help out friends and family when they need it. But the funny thing is, most of us won't look for help when we need it. Talk to someone if you're struggling with mental health, because most people out here really care. Find more information at loveyourmindtoday.org. That's loveyourmindtoday.org. Brought to you by the Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ad Council.
The back seat. Check the back seat.
Gets in your head, right? Good, because every year dozens of children are forgotten in the back seat. Cars get hot fast and can be deadly. So get it in your head. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Fear you may be missing out? We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. Enjoy listening live or catch up by finding the podcast at civicmedia.us or wherever you enjoy listening to your podcasts.
Friends, Tom Hartman here to remind you that it's your support of our show that keeps us on the air. Without you, there wouldn't be a Tom Hartman program. And now more than ever, it's crucial for you to show your progressive support. And one of the best ways to show your support is to sign up for Tomcast. That's our podcast. It's at TomHartman.com. Never miss another heated debate on healthcare, global climate change, or our economy. Never miss another one again. Plus, labor news, full Monty alerts, conservative alerts, and my personal favorite segment, Geeky Science, each and every week. But wait, there's more! As an added bonus with your Tomcast podcast subscription, you'll also get my best of the rest of the news, a daily 3-minute dose of what's going on in the world today that you can't afford to miss. So what are you waiting for? Get over to TomHartman.com today and sign up for your Tomcast now. Do it for yourself, or you can do it for a friend. Go to TomHartman.com to see just how easy it is. And thank you so much for all of your support. Change starts with you. You can be calling your Democratic or Republican representatives to let them know what you think by calling 202-224-3121. It's the Capitol switchboard. It'll get you right through to them.
So the Washington Post reported that it looks like General Abdel Fattah el-Sisi, the dictator of Egypt, organized a $10 million cash bribe to Donald Trump when he was most desperate for cash during the 2016 election. And then Donald Trump repaid him by, embracing him, bringing him into the White House, making Egypt one of his visits, and just doing things that normally you don't do with countries that are run by dictators. The Washington Post pretty much nailed this. Well, why didn't we learn about this earlier? The FBI investigated it starting in 2018, but in 2019, Attorney General Bill Barr shut down the investigation. This is not the first time he has done this. He also shut down the investigation into the Iran-Contra affair, where the Reagan campaign was paying Iran with weaponry to hold the hostages to screw Jimmy Carter. There's an op-ed about it over at HartmanReport.com. It's titled, "When Will Bill Barr Be Brought to Justice?" Check it out. So welcome back. We're talking with Lamar Waldron about his latest book, The Hidden History of the JFK Assassination, and the two books that came out prior to that that he and I worked on together, Ultimate Sacrifice, Legacy of Secrecy, Ultimate Sacrifice and Legacy of Secrecy. So just to recap, we're trying to, do you want to do the quick recap, Lamar?
Well, yeah. So basically, the first of the two dozen people that worked with John Robert Kennedy, who basically gave us the high-level view of what happened and why everything was kept so secret, because we were getting ready to stage a coup against Fidel Castro on December 1st, 1963, that would be led by the number three man in Cuba, the head of the Cuban army, and Castro's death would be blamed on a Russian or a Russian sympathizer. And those sources were, in the order we talked about them, and that we interviewed them, were JFK Secretary of State Dean Rusk, Bobby Kennedy's close friend and the top Cuban exile aide in the secret operation, Harry Williams, and John Nolan, who was Bobby Kennedy's closest aide, who saw every top secret piece of paper that went to Bobby Kennedy, went through John Nolan. And then that brings us to the other man that confirmed that Commander Almeida was the guy who was going to lead the coup plan, and that was, he was a general. When you talked to him, I think it was back in 1992, General Oliva, and we had written up these questions, and we were just going to kind of slip, you were going to slip Commander Almeida's name into the conversation, just in a matter-of-fact way. You weren't going right to say, so who was the guy? No, you were just going to ask a question that almost assumed that General Oliva knew who Almeida was and that Almeida was the top guy in Cuba working on the coup plan.
Right.
So now I will pitch it back to you, because
sure,
as soon as you ask him that question,
yeah, all hell breaks loose. Well, and also just to put that into the context, at that time that you and I were writing this book, we assumed that this plan died with John Kennedy or in the months immediately thereafter.
And I think by that time, I was generally aware that Commander Almeida had not been seen in Cuba for at least, I think by that time, but by about 3 years or so.
Right.
So the assumption
we thought he was dead.
He was dead.
Right. So here I am, assuming that Almeida is dead, and assuming that this plan, this top secret coup plan, that it was supposed to be executed on December 1st, 1963, was a dead plan. And so I'm sitting in the office of this Brigadier General in Washington, D.C., who was going to lead, had been at Fort Benning, with the Cuban troops that they were going to bring into Cuba after the death of Castro
because he was a Cuban-American. He'd been a leader at the Bay of Pigs.
Right.
He was black. He was going to lead that multiracial brigade in right after.
And he was such a sweet guy. I mean, we had this wonderful conversation. And then I said, so, one of the things that Harry mentioned to me was that General Juan Almeida, the commander of the Cuban military, was in on the deal and was going to, take over Cuba when John Kennedy was assassinated. And at that point, Oliva just goes, he jerks upright, he gets up, he walks around his desk, I'm sitting in a chair opposite his desk, grabs me, my recollection is he grabbed my lapel, and essentially drags me over to this to the window where this air conditioner is running and says, "Don't you ever say that name again." That is an active operation. That man is still around. This is top secret, and you could be executed for talking about this, or words to that effect. That's my recollection. So back to you, Lamar. At that point, and by the way, at that point, we had this oh crap moment and realized maybe we have to novelize this. I mean, this is why Al Maheda's name does not appear in the first two books, because neither one of us wanted to go to prison for the rest of our lives.
Right. You know, so basically, thanks to Harry Williams and John Nolan and Al Maheda, you know, we were part of the cover-up. You know, again, the JFK movie, which is good dramatically, but it was really not state-of-the-art as far as what was known about the JFK assassination at the time, certainly not today. You know, I think there's a line, words to the effect, I'm not quoting it exactly, but if you figure out, so in the JFK movie, I think Kevin Costner, as Jim Garrison says, words to the effect, if you figure out who was behind the cover-up, you'll know who did the crime. Well, that's not true, because, you know, Bobby Kennedy covered up a lot. You and I covered up a lot, because we didn't want to get shot. B, Commander Almeida made another appearance in public about a year or so after you interviewed General Oliva. So
Oliva had told us that it was still a live operation. So we're thinking, okay, Almeida may be, you know, killing Castro any day now. And it was just insane. So, Lamar, we only have a few minutes left here.
Let me hit you with one more thing about Commander Almeida. I'll save that for the break time. So what was the plan to kill JFK? And so we now know preventing World War III was a big cause of a lot of the cover-ups. But, you know, the other cause of the cover-ups, every one of the big agencies had a lot to hide. Because the mafia had found out about the coup plan, even though they were barred from the coup plan or from reopening their casinos, and they had infiltrated it through people like Johnny Roselli. Through people like Jack Ruby, believe it or not, there's actually in the Warren volumes, not in the report, but in the volumes, yeah, there's an indication that Jack Ruby knew about the coup plan. We know that the guy that Joe Pesci played in the Oliver Stone movie, which again I like dramatically, Joe Pesci gave a great performance, the guy by the name of David Ferry, who was a CIA agent. That was later confirmed by the executive assistant to one of the CIA directors. And so David Ferry was also working for the mafia. So again, you just see that constantly, that almost all the mafia people involved were also working for the CIA. So the CIA was continuing their plan, developed under Vice President Nixon in 1960, to kill Fidel. And they continued it even after the coup plan was well along its way, I think, if for no other reason than is kind of a backup. I mean, what if
Bobby
is all set for a coup and Commander Almeida is killed in a car wreck?
Well, right. And John and Bobby thought if this had been shut down, they thought the mafia was out of this.
Oh, yeah, they thought that was all shut down in the spring of 62. It was still going.
So the mob now knows that there's this plan to kill Castro and that there's also a plan to cover up any consequences that may come out of it, like Castro seeking revenge and killing the U.S. ambassador to Panama.
Well, right. And anybody just reading the newspapers at the time, remember, this is still a year after we all thought we were going to get blown up at the Cuban Missile Crisis.
Right.
So the mob knew that the more they could connect their assassination plot to the coup plan, the more high government officials would be forced to cover up. Even the bullets in Oswald's rifle, the Dallas gunsmith who probably sold those is in an FBI document talking about all the money that can be made in the stock market when this upcoming coup in Cuba happens. So you can tell why he wasn't taken to Washington to testify in front of the Warren Commission. So basically the mafia adapted the plan that was going to be used to kill Fidel, which we don't know in detail, but I cite a lot of evidence, especially in JFK, the hidden history, or the hidden history of the JFK assassination, and in the even much bigger, much more detailed book, the first book, Ultimate Sacrifice. And by the way, people always want to get the trade paperbacks of our books, these, you know, the JFK books and the Watergate book, because they have additional information that is not in the hardbacks. But I make a good case that Castro was probably, so Castro, he didn't like limousines. That wasn't the revolutionary style. He would travel between cities and to his estate in Veradero Beach in an open Jeep, you know, to show he's a man of the people, right? By the way, his estate in Veradero Beach used to belong to Bobby Kennedy's wife's family.
Wow.
So the best place to kill Fidel would be when he's in that open Jeep. You could have professional sharpshooters kill him. You could set up somebody else to take the fall. It needed to be in public, just like the JFK assassination needed to be in public, so that, you know, Raul, if he didn't die, couldn't hide the fact that Castro had been killed. So that's also why JFK had to be killed in public, so Bobby Kennedy couldn't hide the fact that JFK had been shot or was a vegetable, and while Bobby secretly ran the government.
Right. Plus, you know, public killings were the way the mafia did business. We'll be back.
You're listening to Tom Hartman. Visit TomHartman.com for audio and video archives.
Back with Lamar Waldron in just a moment. It's 45 minutes past the hour.
Like to go on a five-star vacation for just $99. We're talking about the quality of a Westgate Resort for $99. Not for one night, but for three fantastic nights at one of their luxurious destinations across the United States. And you'll even get a free $100 Visa gift card just for making a reservation. We've got some of the choicest destinations that you'll love in the United States that you can choose from for just $99 for a three-night stay. Take your family. Take a special loved one, but get away. Go on vacation with Westgate Resorts. Call now to make a reservation for just $99, and you get a free $100 Visa gift card. Call Westgate right now and book your vacation. Here's the number.
800-550-9469. 800-550-9469. 800-550-9469. That's 800-550-9469.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR.
CBS News Brief. Flying on Labor Day saw flight delays and cancellations. Newark Liberty International Airport had holdups preventing takeoffs and landings. Kathleen Bangs is with FlightAware.
We don't know if any of this has to do with staffing, you know, how staffing has impacted this.
CBS News Los Angeles reporter Lori Perez is in Rancho Palos Verdes, where a slow-moving landslide is making homes on the ground there on unstable.
When you drive through this neighborhood, there's lots of cracked foundations, there are cracked walls that you can see with your eyes. You know, the streets are really messed up here.
Pope Francis has arrived in Jakarta, Indonesia, where he will rest and then begin a tour of Southeast Asia.
We expect he'll speak about dialogue between faiths and tolerance. He's also going to East Timor, a tiny country which is more than 97% Catholic, to show his support for those Catholic communities far from Rome.
CBS's Anna Matranga. CBS News Brief. I'm Michael Toscano.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Plans to reroute part of Enbridge Energy's controversial Line 5 in northern Wisconsin are now in the hands of federal regulators. Enbridge aims to address environmental concerns. The tribe's lawyer is Gussie Lord. She says it's not enough.
This reroute is not a solution. It's a full solution to the danger of the current pipeline. In fact, it really extends the dangers of the pipeline and increases the threat of a devastating oil spill.
It's not clear when the Army Corps of Engineers will decide on the application. Six different hunting seasons are underway in Wisconsin. The Department of Natural Resources says early seasons for Canada goose and teal, as well as mourning dove, rail, snipe, and common gallinule, all opened this weekend. The Canada goose population in Wisconsin is about 40% higher than average this year. This is Civic Media News.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. If you're a celebrity, every summer is the summer to get drunk in the Hamptons and run off the road. But this is the summer to get caught doing so. First, it was Justin Timberlake, and now we'll add disgraced TV host Matt Lauer's daughter, Rami, to the list. Page Six reports that Rami, 20 years old and an avid equestrian, went off the road in the early morning hours of July 5th and fled the scene, but left a license plate behind. Someone should have told her that horses don't need license plates. The hat worn by Harrison Ford in the movie Indiana Jones Temple of Doom recently sold in an auction for $630,000. The hat was showcased early in the film when Jones and Short Round jumped from a plane about to crash. The high cost for the hat was much more than other celebrity items that were auctioned off, such as Justin Timberlake's French toast that went for just over $1,000 in 2000, or Scarlett Johansson's used tissue from The Tonight Show in 2008. True stories. Check them out.
For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, weekdays from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Mostly clear skies and light winds for us here in the overnight as temperatures tumble into the upper 40s. On Tuesday, sunshine and highs in the upper 70s. By Wednesday, plentiful sunshine once again as our temperatures approach the 80-degree mark. Right now, it's 51.
The Todd Alba Show.
Co-founder of the Lincoln Project, Rick Wilson.
Trump is now pre-gaming for Republican elections boards at the county and state levels across this country to try to put their thumb on the scale for Trump. And if they don't win on that front, they may resort to violence again, which is why at the Lincoln Project, our goal is not to beat Trump. Our goal is to beat Trump like a rented mule. Our goal is to beat Trump so bad that his bruises have bruises.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Matt Nair on air.
You know, Greg Bach, I think it is time I need a little time away.
Jane, are you going on vacation?
Yes, I am going on vacation. I feel confident. You're going to do a great job. You got Calvin.
Wait, I'm hosting?
Yes, dear, you're going to be hosting.
I thought you were taking me with you. Okay, I guess I will host the show in your stead. Thank you very much.
I trust you.
Matt Nair on air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Chicago was Tampa, Florida, 4 days before Dallas, and so the third choice would be Dallas. And so we know from Secret Service agent Abraham Bolden, the first black presidential Secret Service agent personally selected by JFK to be the first black presidential Secret Service agent, and other evidence that there was an attempt planned to kill JFK in Chicago. The Secret Service there lost surveillance on the potential assassins. They did arrest the Patsy, who an ex-Marine with a lot of interesting similarities to Oswald, who worked in a warehouse overlooking the Chicago parade route. JFK was so concerned that they canceled not just the motorcade, but the entire trip at the last minute, a visit to a big football game with powerful Chicago Mayor Daley, probably the most powerful Democrat in the country on that level. And they had JFK's press secretary, Pierre Salinger, who I interviewed, give two phony excuses in the space of 30 minutes because they didn't want to say, oh, well, JFK didn't go because he was afraid he was going to get shot. So that didn't work. They next looked at Tampa, Florida, where JFK was going to have the longest motorcade of his presidential career. Again, the local police and Secret Service and FBI found out that there were actually two plots to kill JFK. They didn't know it was one plot. They knew there was a white supremacist on Miami police surveillance tape talking about JFK being shot with a high-powered rifle from a tall building. And then there was another plot, and actually these are all part of the same plot, that was related to the mafia. So JFK was going to give a speech that night with words the CIA had helped him write, directed to reassure Commander Almeida that JFK was 100% behind him and he should go ahead with the coup.
2 weeks later.
So JFK could not cancel his Tampa motorcade. So even I interviewed the Tampa chief of police. Tampa chief of police said, look, we got too many tall buildings. We can't guard all of them. You know, the biggest hotel in Tampa, this big tall building that between you and I looks like the school book depository, only bigger and all the windows open. You shouldn't do this. JFK couldn't explain to him why he had to do it, and he did it. And then it was nerve-wracking. Jackie was not with him. JFK went to Miami that night, gave the speech with the lines in the middle of it.
Tampa.
He finished his Tampa motorcade, then he flew to Miami.
Then he went to Miami.
In Miami to a press group, and the next day, some of the papers, like Dallas Times Herald, JFK virtually calls for Cuban coup, but Commander Almeida got the message. Says that's good enough for me. Let's go with it. And so, in Dallas, see, people let their guard down. That's why most of the Secret Service agents on JFK's presidential detail went out drinking until between 2 and 5.
Because they thought they just dodged the bullet in Tampa.
Exactly. They've been tenseness with Chicago. You know, Tampa was horrible. Now they can relax. Well, of course, they couldn't relax. We know what happened. You know, as far as, by the way, there was a patsy in Tampa who had 26 similarities to Oswald that I detail, I summarize in the Hidden History of the JFK Assassination. I give you every detail in Ultimate Sacrifice.
Right.
And so, you know, if something had happened to Oswald that morning, you know, the Tampa patsy went to Dallas after Tampa was called off. By the way, the head of the Tampa Police Intelligence Unit, what used to be called the Red Squad, but was then called the Police Intelligence Unit, was working for Senator Trafficante. That's how Trafficante found out. The police knew, Secret Service knew. That's why they called that off. But again, see, everything looked, everybody could finally relax. And so JFK, and this is in the book, is talking about how easy it would have been for someone to shoot him from a high building, or when he was at the airport flying into Fort Worth, it would have been easy for someone, you know, because of what had happened in Chicago and Tampa. So then, you know, this all happens. Oswald, by the way, the Navy, Naval Intelligence, Marine Intelligence, they did their own investigation of Oswald. They concluded he was incapable of doing the actual shooting or masterminding the assassination. I talked to somebody who helped with that investigation, who monitored Oswald before the assassination, and basically, you know, yeah, Oswald didn't do it. You know, professionals did it. I mean, and basically Nolan had said, after Nolan basically told me it was Marcello Trafficante was out, I said, so you mean it was like a mob hit, you know, with professionals? He was like, oh, yeah. I mean, Nolan was so dismissive of I mean, it's like the fact that Oswald could have done this, you know, it's just like that was just not even worthy of, you know, consideration. So bottom line is the files were supposed to be released back in the late 1990s, the CIA and all the other agencies stalled, and then they were still supposed to be released after that. They weren't. They were supposed to be released in 2017. They weren't. Trump kicked it to 2018. Joe Biden has now kicked it until December 15th of this year, but he's given the agencies an out. If you ever want to see those documents, though, call the White House, call your member of Congress, your senator.
Lamar Waldron.
Never get to see those documents.
The three books, Lamar and I together wrote Ultimate Sacrifice and Legacy of Secrecy, although Lamar did the heavy lifting, and Lamar has since written Watergate, The Hidden History. It's a brilliant trilogy. Lamar, thanks so much.
And The Hidden History of the JFK Assassin.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yes, The Hidden History of the JFK Assassin. I'm reading the wrong line. Thank you, Lamar. And thank you all for watching us. Get out there, get active, tag You're It. We'll see you tomorrow.
You've been listening to Tom Hartman. For audio and video archives, visit TomHartman.com.
There's one reason why most probiotics fall short, and it all has to do with something called survivability. See, to work its magic, a probiotic must arrive alive in your gut. But to do that, it has to survive past your stomach acid, which is strong enough to dissolve metal. That's why for my gut health, I choose Just Thrive Probiotic. It's the first probiotic formulated with 4 proprietary survival strains, clinically guaranteed to reach your gut 100% alive. In fact, third-party testing proves Just Thrive Probiotic has 1,000 times better survivability versus traditional probiotics, making it a game changer for your digestion, your immune system, your skin, and even your mood. And with 0 gluten, dairy, or histamines, it's perfect for your whole family. Try clinically proven Just Thrive Probiotic 100% risk-free today and get 20% off your purchase for a limited time. Visit justthrivehealth.com and use the promo code Tom, T-H-O-M. Just Thrive Health, promo code Tom.
This is locally grown radio, WFHR.
As a federally licensed broadcast company, this civic media station is required by FCC regulations to accept advertising by all qualified candidates for federal office. We also accept ads from state and local candidates. We do screen announcements from issue groups and PACs and exercise discretion in airing announcements with blatantly false claims or outrageous unfounded statements. These announcements do not necessarily reflect the views of civic media, its hosts, or advertisers, and the source of all issue announcements can be found online at our FCC public file.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network. This is locally grown radio.
WFHR 1320 AM, W248 DE Wisconsin Rapids,
and always streaming on the Civic Media app.